And, you know, and she kept telling me, oh, I'm just the elder of this garden. I'm the elder, one of the elders of this garden. And she was talking and telling me such amazing things. And I was weeping endlessly and constantly. And, you know, when I was looking at her architecture, looking at her stems and her branches and her leaves and her patterns, she was so beautiful. And then after a while, it seemed like days, but it really wasn't. It was like an hour and a half. But then I hear the drumming and our instructors coming out to get us. And I was like, what is this plant? I need to know it right now. And she goes, oh, well, she's elder. And I was like,
whoa.
I was like, yeah, but I mean, what is it? And she's like, no, she's black elderberry. She's Sambucus nigra. And I was like, oh my God. Yes, she told me that, obviously.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Elevated Community Podcast, where we come together to dive deep into our souls to find what elevates us. This is a place where we can sort of unzip our human suits for a bit and explore interviews and conversations with potent individuals who help aid in the elevation of the collective consciousness. I am your host, Mackenzie Moore, and my intention in sharing this journey with you is to always be of service through providing tools, resources, and information so that you can connect with your soul on a deeper level. And my wish is to cultivate a nourishing community to where you can feel less alone and to provide a place that you can explore different ways of thinking and being. And I genuinely appreciate your time and sharing the space with me, as I know you have plenty of options to choose from when it comes to podcasts. So I just want to thank you so much for being here today. And so here we are. Your girl just finished her Wild Woman Project Circle Leader training. So I'm really excited to finally announce that. I've been kind of keeping it on the hush for like 8 weeks now. So I finally just finished my training and I am officially a graduate of the Wild Woman Project. And for those who may not know, the Wild Woman Project is really this sort of movement to exploring the untamed wild spirit that is within each of us. And so as a trained facilitator now, I will be guiding new moon circles where we will explore a new theme each month through creative visualizations, meditation, journaling, sharing rituals, and a lot of intention setting and just creativity. So this is really a place of ceremony where we can connect with our inner knowing and our inner guidance. And I'm officially going to be hosting the circles starting later in September for the new moon in Virgo. I did some meditation and really felt into the energy of when I am going to feel the most kind of connected and ready to start for this, so I can give myself some time to really prepare and kind of practice with the next few months to come. And so I felt that the new moon in Virgo is really going to be a powerful one, and given that it's like that new moon particularly is going to be in Virgo, which is a earth sign. And it's interesting because in my natal chart, my moon is actually in Virgo. So I'm like, all right, I think that that gives me plenty of time to prepare and sort of approach it from a grounded place and a connected and kind of earthly place to really start journeying with you all on a deeper level. So I plan on actually hosting probably a couple of circles. I'm thinking they may be kind of back to back around the new moon later in September, in which I have this idea to offer one for female identifying folks and the other one for gender neutral, so male and female identifying individuals. I really want to be able to offer up both of those spaces for, you know, sometimes as women and as being a woman, I understand that sometimes it's, you know, it's really nice to just be able to connect with that feminine energy. And there's something really powerful about that. But I also feel that there are plenty of men and male identifying individuals that also deserve to have access to this information and to this type of healing. So I really feel like cultivating both sides and sharing the love in both of those types of environment is really what is calling to my soul. And so there will be more information coming on that soon, and you can obviously find more information at thewildwomanproject.com if you're curious. The founder is very amazing. She's such a beautiful soul, and I feel like I've really, really just learned a lot through this individual and through the mentors that I have had. I'm just beyond the moon and so grateful to be able to connect with my soul on a deeper level and to connect with the moon and just this whole aspect of like rewilding ourselves and really connecting with that wild spirit that's within each of us. I think that it's so important. So I'm really excited to be bringing that to the public in the near future. So if you have any questions about that, you can always reach out to me directly or visit that website mentioned and find more resources there. And I think she's also, the founder of that project is also offering another training this fall. And I highly recommend it. It's totally worth every penny. So if that is something that you feel called to do or look deeper into, there is that. And so now I'm going to get into a little bit of what this episode is. And in this episode, I am speaking with my dear friend, Derek Beggs, who is an advanced holistic nurse, clinical herbalist, Reiki master, he's actually my Reiki teacher, and certified crystal healing practitioner and integrative, hopefully I said that right, I can never say that word, integrative, wow, I really can't say this word, integrative nurse coach. Some of the major topics discussed in this episode are the dynamics of multidimensional healing related to the mind, body, and the spirit, the role of free thinkers, spiritualists, and mystics in the creation of the post-pandemic world, and this sort of invitation to really take this time to deepen our connection with our own work, whatever that may look like, whether we're an artist and we paint, or for me, like creating this podcast, or connecting with the plants, or like whatever it is that you feel sort of drawn to in this time, in this moment, in this space, to really allow ourselves to deepen the connection with that and to explore that on a deeper level, so that after all of this chaos kind of, you know, calms down a bit, we can really have this plethora and this like deeper sense of resource to kind of take from this experience and offer to our community and to the world. So we also talk about what it means to actually step into your power and the aspects of weaving ourselves into the places that we call home and really deepening our connection to the spirit of land, which is otherwise known as Genius Loci, which is a new a new word that I learned about and a new concept that I learned about. So I am just really excited to share this with you. Derek is such a beautiful being, and he really inspires me in so many ways to just keep showing up and really just doing things out of love for others and a love for ourselves. And for this episode, we're actually going to be doing a Patreon giveaway. This one I'm going to make for patrons only, so this one is not going to be open to the public, because it's just really such a juicy giveaway. So I really want to have it available to those who are paying at the $2 a month level. And it's going to be a virtual or in-person herbal consultation with a custom formulation, which Derek expands on more later in the episode. So you can continue listening on to hear more about that. And you can also find more details at patreon.com/elevatedcommunity. And let's go ahead and dive in. I hope you enjoy. Hello, Derek, and welcome to Elevated Community Podcast. I'm super grateful for you being here today, and I just want to open it up if you would like to lead us on a grounding meditation or some sort of invocation.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I am super honored and just full of love and gratitude to be here in this moment. So yeah, let's get started. If you're listening or wherever you are, as long as you're not driving or operating heavy machinery, just go ahead and make yourself comfortable right here, right now, where you are. Allow your awareness and your being and your body to fully be supported and enveloped and enraptured and in loved in this moment. And I would first like to acknowledge the land that we are on, the land of the Piscataway Kanoi peoples and the First Nations peoples of Turtle Island, what we're now calling Maryland in the United States. I honor their stories and their lives and their journeys as they are people still living, thriving, and being in this place and time now. And in this moment, I also honor my own breath, which has the power to pull us back into this present moment. This thing of such power that has the ability and capacity to pull us out of reminiscing or regretting the past, or anxiety or anticipation about the future, to be in this powerful, transformative, sacred moment here and now with one deep breath. Acknowledging and allowing and accepting ourselves and being fully present to this work, this place, this space, and this time. And that's all.
Thank you so much. That was very, very pleasant. And I really appreciate you for taking the time to acknowledge the people that came before us. This is something that I have just recently been kind of diving into, and I actually just found out about the Piscataway a couple weeks ago. And I just feel that that is so important to really acknowledge those who come before us, and that their presence and their energy is still here holding this land and this space with us. So thank you for...
Well, even their physicality, there are still Piscataway Kanoe people living today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't talk about. So I just felt like it just like hit me one day that I was like, wait, there was something before colonization and before people came over. Like, I need to educate myself on this because they don't teach that, and they didn't really teach us about that in school. So no. I think that it's incredible that you just shared that with us, and just all that you do and all of your wisdom. I'm so grateful. So I have like a general opening question for the podcast, and that is, what does community mean to you? That can be described in one word if you feel, or that could be described in a sentence, but just what does community mean to you? What does that feel like? What does that look like?
Beautiful, deep, deep question. I love it. So community to me means recognizing that no matter how we strip it down or how we paint it over or cover it in words and feelings and titles, that we are all one, that I am and have always been here on this planet, in this universe, and in this multiverse, that I, as I know myself and label myself, underneath all of that, I've always been, you know, I have been the raven and the rock, I've been the oak, and I've been the stream. And tomorrow I will be the bear, and in the future I will be the bison. I will be whatever, because we're all connected, no matter what. And that community also means not only connecting with amazing people like you, but it also means connecting with amazing people like the nettle that's growing outside my door. It's connecting with the dandelion that I grew this year because I didn't have any in my yard. It's recognizing that we're just all one, interconnected, you know, and even the non-human peoples, the non-fleshed peoples, you know, the beings that exist beyond the veils and within the veils and are the veils, that's community to me.
Thank you.
And I want to add one more thing. And it's so, and to make it more less metaphorical and more functional, is that those relationships are reciprocal, and we can gain knowledge and wisdom and food and life and air and breath, and we can give all of those things too to those beings and creatures.
Thank you. That's community. Beautiful. I love it. So I also would like to acknowledge how we actually met, and so I'll give a brief little background into that. And I actually found you on the Karma Fest Facebook group page, where you had posted about your journal club that you were doing at the Senior Living Center. So I ended up going and bringing a few friends with me to this experience, and unfortunately, I only got to go a few times, but that was really where I got to kind of journey deeper with you and kind of get a feel for your energy and what you're creating and just the being that you are. And I am seriously so grateful to know you, and you just have this light and this resonance about your energy, and I just feel so at peace, and I feel just very calm when I'm around you, and that I can open up and express myself in the way that needs to come out. So I just thought that I would acknowledge that, and thank you for holding that space.
Yeah, the days of the old journal club, that was fun.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and your story and how you initially got started on this healing journey of yours.
Yeah, so, well, my name is Derek Beggs, for those of you who don't know me, and my journey in the healing realm has always been, I come from a line of nurses and hospital workers and health aides. And, you know, it seems like my family has always been in that nurturing, healing aspect of life. And then, you know, so I followed in that. I joined the military, which a lot of people are like utterly shocked to hear. But yes, I joined the military, and I was a medic in the Army, which I loved. And did deploy, which was life-changing. And, you know, and then I came back and I went back to school and I continued my nursing education. And then eventually wound up working in a trauma ICU, which was traumatizing to say the least. Mm-hmm. It was very empowering, and it was amazing and very high intensity, high skill level, and very literally life changing and life saving for the patients and for myself. But after a while, I started suffering from adrenal fatigue, and what I call secondhand trauma, where I was feeling like my ability to work and heal with people in that capacity was shortchanged and truncated and incomplete. And in so many ways, I felt that I was doing a disservice. So I was emotionally and spiritually being drained by it and physically with the adrenal fatigue. So after a while, I actually had to go get my own healing and my own restoration and, you know, come to terms with this was not the role for me. And so then I started thinking, well, you know, what is healing? You know, if this is my call and my aim in my life, how do I do that in a way that is authentic to me, that is fulfilling to me, and that is really doing the best service I can? And then I was immediately drawn back to remembering my grandmother, who is an amazing woman. She's not embodied now, but she is an amazing woman. And she had a very close relationship with plants as food and food as medicine. And then I was like, oh my gosh, wait, plants as food as medicine, plants as food as medicine, plants as medicine, wait a minute. And then I immediately discovered that there was actually an herbal training school in the town that I lived in, not far from me. And I went and took a weekend intensive just to get the feel for it, loved it. And I immediately enrolled in their 2-year program, completed that. At the same time, I was doing a million other things. So that's how I became an herbalist. So I am the owner and clinician, as you know, of my private practice in Cockeysville, Maryland, called Sacred Wisdom Herbals. And I have my master's degree in advanced holistic nursing. So at the same time, I was also attaining my graduate degree, you know, my doshas, my pitta and kapha. I mean, my pitta and vata were just like all intense at the moment. So I have my private practice where I do 4 main things. 1, I'm a clinical herbalist. 2, I'm a Reiki master and master teacher. 3, I'm an integrative nurse coach and a crystal healing practitioner. So in my practice, I really do treat people completely holistically. And you know, they may come in with a physical ailment, but I want to take care of that, yes. But I also am interested in the story behind the story, as I like to call it, and really working on if there's anything deeper behind it that needs healing and tending to. Yeah.
Beautiful. So yeah. Are there any specific journeys or experiences that you have had with any sort of plant medicines that you can recall? Like maybe the first time that you felt like, whew, like a connection with them, or that could be any other like healing modality as well, like Reiki, just like an experience that you had that really just like, you're like, wow, I need to be sharing this with the world.
So one of my first ones, I think it was like shortly after, I think it was actually my first month of the actual official herbalism training program. Our instructor, who is a great Western herbalist, and she was like, okay, everyone, put down all your books, put down all your stuff. We're going outside, and they have this beautiful garden that's just like full of medicinal plants. And she just walked us through and sat each of us down with a plant. And she was like, okay, I'll come get you when you're done. And I was like, okay, you know, and I was versed in meditation at the time, but I was like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to meditate with you. And I'm looking at this plant and I'm like, I recognize you, but I don't know you for sure, but let's just see, you know. So we go and we settle in and we start talking, me and this plant, and dialoguing. And, you know, and she kept telling me, oh, I'm just the elder of this garden. I'm the elder, one of the elders of this garden. And she was talking and telling me such amazing things, and I was weeping endlessly and constantly. And, you know, when I was looking at her architecture, looking at her stems and her branches and her leaves and her patterns, she was so beautiful. And then, after a while, it seemed like days, but it really wasn't. It was like an hour and a half. But then I hear the drumming and our instructors coming out to get us. And I was like, what is this plant? I need to know it right now. And she goes, oh, well, she's elder. And I was like,
Whoa.
I was like, yeah, but I mean, what is it? And she's like, no, she's black elderberry. She's Sambucus nigra. And I was like, oh my God. Yes, she told me that, obviously.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And I've had tons, I could tell you story upon story. I could tell you the time I went to Peru and went to the jungle and did ayahuasca, and that
Yeah.
completely changed my whole world.
Yeah, I totally feel that as well. And it's really nice that you're sharing that because that is kind of what started happening to me at the beginning of my journey as well, is that like I was hearing the plants talking to me, and a part of me felt like a little crazy because people didn't talk about that, and like
Right.
I was afraid to share it, and I kind of like pushed it out for a while because I was like, well, maybe that's just a little too out there for me. Like, nobody was really talking about it, and I didn't really ever feel like I had permission to like go deeper into that. So thank you for sharing that.
You do.
That's
You have utter
beautiful.
permission. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot in our North American herbal traditions, especially like in the wise woman tradition, or you know, in things like that that were more spiritually based, before they became like the physiometicists and all the physiomedicalists and all of that, that did rely on plant spirit communication and having relationships with the plants so that they could teach us and we can understand their patterns through relationship and seeing them in more than just dried leaf debris in a jar. You know, we need to see them in their natural environment and how they incorporate and integrate. And that's communication too. It doesn't always have to be clairaudience, you know, but there's a lot of power in that listening.
Thank you. So we had kind of went over some topics that we really wanted to dive deeper into for this episode as well. And one of those things was in terms of the dynamics of multidimensional healing for the mind, body, and spirit. So I was curious if you could expand on that.
Yeah, and I think it's important for these times, right? These times that we're living in, because whether we are directly engaging with it or not, or how many times we're leaving the house, or how many other people we're seeing, this is traumatic. It can be very traumatic for people. And if we don't take the time to recognize that and acknowledge that, then we're suppressing it. And we're burying it, and then it's going in deeper parts of ourselves where it has a chance to ferment and fester. And I hate saying ferment because I've been fermenting a lot and I love fermented foods, but it has a chance. Maybe I should stick with fester, but it has a chance to fester and to brood and to become these other thought forms that will then manifest in our lives if we're not acknowledging that, yes, this is not what we have seen as normal. You know, this is not comfortable, and life doesn't always have to be, but or if we just simply acknowledge our feelings about it, like, yes, I'm nervous, and give those things, you know, the ability to rise to the surface and be acknowledged and honored and then released. That way they don't have to become a monster. You know, because when we live in states of chronic fear in the mind and in the emotions, then it leads to adrenal fatigue and burnout. It leads to exhaustion and insomnia. And all of these things start to percolate through different layers of our being to where they can then manifest as physical symptoms and illnesses, you know? And so a lot of it comes through with the dimensions of healing and the dimensions of awareness. In knowing yourself, right? Knowing what are my body's responses to fear or to anxiety. And then when I feel those, when you know that and then you feel it, then you can address it instead of pushing it away and ignoring it. Because truly, you know, we tend to think when I was working in that trauma ICU, to go back to that, you know, it was called a trauma ICU because people's bodies were damaged. But we don't have the same kind of trauma ICU for people's emotions or people's mental states and all part and or spiritual states, definitely. And if we do, they're not very good. You know, or they're not paid for by insurance, so they become less accessible. But all parts of us can experience trauma. And right now, a lot of parts of us are experiencing trauma through this whole situation. And so if we can create and maintain awareness of that and kindness with ourselves and help through beautiful people like you that just create podcasts or material and content, you know, for people to be able to connect, right? And to breathe with each other and be with each other through these times, we can shift that energy so it doesn't have to get lodged in our bodies and then worked out later. You know, it's all about recognizing it, being with it, feeling through it, and moving, and you know, just keeping it moving as best as you can. You know, and for the longest time, so when this first began, I shut down my practice, of course, right? Because I can't see people face to face. And so the first thing I did immediately, I was like, okay, I've got to do something, and it's got to be accessible, and it's got to be available. And so I started doing free meditation services twice a week, and I'm still doing them because people need to see each other's faces. You know,
Absolutely.
when we were doing setting up this podcast, that was like my big question to you this morning was, can I see your face? You know, because while I love my family very much, I like seeing other people too. But you know, we have to be able to hold each other and support each other in what ways we can. A lot of people are suffering, you know, but we can work together and we can do this together. We will get through this together. We just have to keep it moving so it's not lodged in our bodies. Yeah. And
I've
so,
been.
oh,
Go
I'm
ahead.
sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and so, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to get through this and we're going to heal through this. We're going to find out such amazing stuff about ourselves and about our own abilities, you know, to take care of ourselves and to, you know, tend to our own needs that we never knew before, because never before have we had a time where this has occurred, where everything was like shut off,
Right.
you know. And so it's really, it can be a beautiful time if we allow it to be, you know, in whatever way we can. And that's not
Definitely.
to minimize anything. It's just, we have to try.
And I feel that there are a lot of sort of side effects and things that are happening with our current situation that a lot of people just made me feel really alone. And I've been noticing a lot of people in my life that I have met at some point in my life are dying, and there are people that are committing suicide in the last month. It's been like crazy. There's been more people that have died in the last month that I've known, like comparative to like the last few years. It's really intense, and I feel that that's why I feel really called to do this work and the podcast, and I'm really grateful for what you're doing because it just really lets people know that like they're not alone, and there are ways that we can show up and come together and use the medicines that are around us and just like collaborating with other people and talking to other people so that we can feel less alone. So I just
And it is all medicine if we allow it to be. This is medicine. Sitting outside and just feeling the sun on yourself is medicine, you know. It's what the medicine is, whatever alleviates stress on our bodies in any way, shape, or form. And I've also opened up my own practice virtually for sliding scale, because I know that there are people without work and they still need and deserve to be cared for, you know. It's an amazing time, but we can all, if we all just do one little thing, you know, even if it's just like honestly like getting to know your neighbors, now's a good time to do it. Now's a good time to do it. Well, and knowing ourselves, right? We've also got more time. So, you know, I've been telling people to go on. The Chopra Institute has a really good, because I use Ayurvedics a lot. as part of
Okay.
my constitutional analysis of my clients.
Mm-hmm.
I've been telling a lot of people, like, go on to the Chopra Institute and look up their Ayurvedic quiz. They have one and it's free and it's good. But it'll give you a chance to know yourself, and they also have info on their website for little self-care practices that are distinct and appropriate for each dosha type, the three doshas of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And so those self-care practices can be so simple and easy, you know, and they can really just transform your experience of wellness.
I will definitely be linking that in the show notes for the Chopra Institute as well.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, there's a million of them out there, but that's the easiest one I found.
Okay.
Yeah, because some have like 100 and something questions. This one is
okay.
This one is just something like an easy starting point.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's talk about the role of free thinkers, spiritualists, and mystics in the creation of the post-pandemic world.
Yeah. So this question came out of actually the question for myself. What is my role, right? I consider myself a free thinker, a spiritualist, and a mystic. Is like, what is my role? And the answer I got immediately from my ancestors is, what's the same role you've always been doing? You know, it's that thing that it's really the same. You know, we are the people that show that things can be different, that we can use the imaginal realm and our imagination to create systems that are thriving and supportive and nurturing and sustainable and reciprocal and in right relationship. That we can also speak to people where they are. You know, I see people in my practice from attorneys all the way down to homeless people. And that role of that person who's the free thinker is that we can change hats really quickly. We can, what they also call code switching. And, you know, and I can speak to doctors, which I regularly do in my practice, when they're like, why is my person drinking these plants, you know? But I can also speak to across a wide swath of people to help them make it clear. And we can be a bridge from the world that was prior COVID-19, the world that is current COVID-19, and the world that is the future after COVID-19, you know, or whatever our relationship becomes to this virus. And that it's all about the dreaming. Free thinkers, healers, spiritualists, mystics are dreamers. At the core of it all, we are dreamers. There is something in us that pulls at us from the deepest parts of who we are and pulls us into a future that's not yet manifest. And that future is often beautiful and healing and transformative and empowering to those, to ourselves and to those around us. And so our role really doesn't change. The way that we do it might change. Like, I've never spent so much time staring at the computer screen. I think I need glasses, actually. I was thinking before, like maybe a week before this was all kind of occurring, I was like, I think I need to go to the eye doctor. I've been squinting a lot. And then like this kind of like all the eye doctors and everything shut down and this happens. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm going to need eyeball transplants, you know, from staring at a computer screen. And so that's the role, is just keep doing what we're doing. And then the second thing that I got from my guides is, because I was like, well, what am I supposed to be doing? And they're like, well, what you've always done. But now you have time to deepen it. Deepen whatever you're doing. So I've enrolled in some advanced courses and all of this stuff that I'm doing at the same time, so that as this world changes and unfolds and I'm doing my dance with it and I'm changing and unfolding with it, I'm bringing new information. I'm bringing a depth of awareness and a heightened perspective to it all as it's unfolding, so that I can engage deeper and that more of me can be fleshed out in the work that I do. So if you're a painter, right, and that's a free thinker, you know, you have to be thinking about things in a different way. Take more painting courses. And I don't mean that in give people money. If you don't have money, so what? You know what I mean? Take them on your own, watch YouTube videos. But whatever your art form is, you know, you for your podcast, deepen that work of that podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, me for my herbalism and my healing practices and my spiritual practices, deepen all of that. You know, in the person who's the mystic, you know, or whatever they want to call themselves nowadays. I mean, there's a million words for it. Deepen that. Deepen it so that when the world starts opening back up or the world does whatever it's going to do, we have a deep, deep, deep resourceful well that we can tap into and we can create change where we are. That's personally what I think it is. And do our own work. Because as healers and free thinkers and artists, a lot of times we neglect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now is a really good time to settle in and do our own work. Because there's that healer, that wounded healer archetype, like of Chiron, you know, Chiron. Some people call him Chiron or Chiron, whatever. That exists, right? That the healer is doing all this healing, but never attending to his own healing. Or is traumatized by the what he sees as a healer. Now's the time to really attend to your own work. That way, when you're re-engaging with people in whatever capacity or whatever way, you're showing up the best you can. That's what I think is really the role.
Thank you.
All of us radical people.
do you think we are going to see more of a rise in people stepping into their power after this pandemic?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the call is out.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it. The call is out for people to do it, to step into their power, because our systems are failing us drastically. All of the things that we have in the industrial world, the civilized world, you know, all of those systems are failing us. And a lot of us don't know how to do anything without those systems in place.
Yeah.
So the call is coming for all of us, whether we, you know, the call might seem like nightmares. They might be you waking up in a cold sweat. That might be the call. You know, for some of us, it's going to be like this divine revelation of awakening where we're like, you know, and the light beams are coming down. But for a lot of us, it's going to be an oh shit moment. Oh, I don't know if I didn't ask if I can cuss on this. I cuss a lot.
Oh, yeah, you're fine.
But for a lot of us, it's going to be, oh, okay, yeah, this isn't available to me anymore. I'm in the grocery store. There's no bread on the shelf. And when we say stepping into our power, you know, sometimes I think that I am in the New Age community, but I am not in the New Age community. But you know, in the spiritual community, we tend to use terms and we project them out and away from us into inevitability, like in these over glamorized things. So when we say stepping into our power, what does that mean?
You're asking me.
Well, I'm just saying it. And the dramatic pause is good. But no, when we say like stepping into our power, like we just say it and it makes us feel good,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we're like, oh, I'm stepping into my power.
Mm-hmm.
Well then, what does that mean, right?
Right. What does that mean? Yeah.
Because if you don't have a definition, a clear definition of what that means, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's okay to say step into your power, but then you have to flesh that out. Right? So for some of us, you know, stepping into your power, for me, I'll give you my example. For me, when I say stepping into my power, what that means is, like through this course of the thing, right, of this experience we're having, for me, the fleshed out way for me to step into my power is to deepen the services that I'm providing, offer them at increased accessibility for anybody that wants and needs it. It means pulling in all of the connections from my cadre of spirits, guides, beings, plant allies, other than human contacts, as well as human contacts. For me, stepping into my power means providing 3 full, fleshed out, nutritious meals to my whole family every day. It means baking my own bread, brewing my own kombucha, making my own yogurt, making everything that I can. To me, stepping into my own power is, would be, if I could, I can't here because there's just life, but growing more of my own food. To me, stepping into my own power means drawing back and recognizing really what is empowering me and what is disempowering me. Mm-hmm. Like social media, false news, oversaturation of news, television, that takes power from me. It does not give me more power. So that to me is stepping into your power. Stepping into your power is whatever you're engaging with. And for each person, it's going to be different because not everybody does what I do. And I'm not ever, you know, and I don't fix cars. So people that fix cars, stepping into their power may be opening up a shop. You know what I mean? It could be anything. But for to me, I always say stepping into my power is engaging with that which gives me more power. Mm-hmm. And that I've recognized is mine to do in this world, whatever my calling is.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hope that made sense. I'm a rambler.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I really like these deep conversations. I find them very nourishing.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we do. We over-glamorize things. Mm-hmm. I teach a class called effective goal setting. And my thing is, you know, if your goal is nebulous, your results are going to be nebulous. Because you can only work to what you've defined. And so, like, we say things like, I want to be more free. Well, what does that mean?
And authentic. I hear that one a lot.
Right. It's like, well, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Because, oh, authentic, that is one that drives me bonkers. Because in order to be authentic, you have to know yourself.
Yep.
And in order to know yourself, you have to stop looking outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to sit in silence and observe yourself. Yeah. So, yeah. So I could go on about like new age terms and how they drive me bonkers.
Yeah. Well, thank you for shedding some light on that and really kind of making people question their why and their call to show up for themselves and like what really kind of drives them and what serves them and what doesn't, and kind of maybe listening more so to that inner intuitive voice and that guidance that's always leading us, but sometimes we just kind of like suppress it. We're like, no,
right, because we, you know, the other thing that happens too is, you know, I always ask people, what are you good at? Mm-hmm. Start there. What are you good at and what do you like to do? You know, because sometimes we think that whole, what is my calling in the world, right? And we start looking outside of us immediately, like, well, what are they doing? What are they doing? Well, it's like, don't worry about what they're doing. And then we compare, right? We're like, oh, well, her calling in the world is to be, you know, this herbal woman who talks softly and walks through the woods, right? It's like, but I can't, I'm not that. You know, the other person's like, I'm not that, you know? And then they judge themselves because their calling is working in healthcare, or their calling is customer service.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. We all have to do something different. We don't want to be a monocrop of carbon copied people. Yeah. We need a diversity.
Yeah. And that, and the calling is ever evolving and it's always changing. So always giving yourself, I feel, permission to kind of lean into those ebbs and flows and just try things out, you know, and find what works for you and leave the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and then eventually it does, it ebbs and flows. But mm-hmm. I think for myself, what I found is my calling has always, like, the underlining current of my calling has always been healing, but mm-hmm. how that's manifest has been different, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was a medic in the Army, then I was a nurse, then I worked in trauma ICU, then I was, you know what I mean? So the core thread of it has always been the same, but the way that it was manifesting, mm-hmm. has always been slightly different, all of which were totally valid and all of which applied and provided wisdoms and medicines that I use now in my practice. All valid stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some aspects of weaving ourselves into the places that we call home.
Yeah. So that's been a thing for me. That's been a big thing for me now. The story about the genius loci, right? The spirit of place. That's from Roman religions, where each place had a spirit of its own. And this might be a little rambly intro to it, but a long time ago, when I was born and raised in what is now called Ohio, the land of the Shawnee and some other First Nations peoples, and when I lived in Ohio, I was always very connected with nature. I lived in it was a very, very rural town, and I didn't even live in the town. I lived out in the BFE, as you like to call it there. But there were lots of, have you heard that term?
Is that bumfuck nowhere? Wait.
Well, yeah, it is. It's Egypt is the, yeah, but I don't know why they called it that.
The boonies.
Yeah, the boonies. I lived out in the boonies. And there were, it was nothing for us growing up to spend an entire day out in the woods. And we had streams and we had hills and we had forests and, you know, we'd literally spend the whole day out there just playing and being. And, you know, when my friends weren't available, I was there by myself. So I was always very nature connected. And just really, you know, my people have been there in and of and on that land of what is now called Ross County since, as far as I can see back, since the late 1700s. Of course, being a person of African American descent, the waters get a little muddy because there weren't really good records kept. Yeah. But I'm working on that still. But they've been in that land for that long, so that's where my dad are, the majority of my dad and my people. And family still now, you know, living there, currently I just live there. But then when I was 20 years old, I moved to Florida and I was baffled. I was completely lost. I had been to Florida multiple times, but then I moved there officially and my own spiritual practices were suffering because I didn't have connections or relationships with any of the tree people, with any of the land people, any of the rocks. You know, we had sand in Ohio, but it was like mostly the riverbeds and streams, right? So the flora, the fauna, the animal, the nature, I didn't know its language. I didn't know its energies and its currents and its powers. And it didn't know me, honestly. And so after a long time, I wound up moving to, you know, and I went in the military and all of the stuff that happened. But then I moved back to Florida, and after a while of being there, then I started to acquaint myself energetically with the place, mm-hmm. with the spirits of that land, and found it very nourishing and beautiful and healing and powerful. But after a while, you know, my family, we decided to move here now to Maryland. And it's the climate is very, very similar to Ohio, as far as we have deciduous trees and we have winters and not as heavy winters as Ohio. But now I'm in a process. I've lived here about a year and a half. Now I'm in the process of getting to know the land on which I live now, you know, and connecting with the spirit of this place and the people that are here and the animals that are here. And it's been very informative to my own spiritual practice and work. And it's also interesting in doing some of my genealogical research, I actually found on my mother's paternal side, which is the Mothmer line. Any Mothmers out there listening, we need to talk. But I found them all the way back to 1770. So before what we're calling the United States was the United States, here in Maryland. Mm. And so it's this interesting loop that wow. I'm here and I wanted to be near DC, but I didn't want to be in DC. I wanted to live out. I live very rural now on almost 4 acres. And I wanted to have the space and the quiet and the trees. And then I'm looking and I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, I have ancestry that was here and lived here. Never knew it.
I resonate with that so much because something similar happened to me, and I started looking into my genealogy when I moved to Maryland as well. And I did not know that 9 generations ago, my ninth great grandpa came over from Ireland into Pennsylvania, an hour away from where I'm currently living. And I was just like full circle, and I went to visit, and was able to find his homestead that he built and everything. And I was just like,
Really?
yeah. And the little Quaker church that he had started in this little town, it's like, I don't remember what it's called, but it's about an hour away from Baltimore. Just like, that
That
is
is
so
fascinating.
wild. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because somebody actually wrote, so the ancestor that I found that was like as far as I can get back. My first ancestor in the United States that the oldest one I found, his name is Jacob Mothmer the first. And somebody actually wrote a book about the
Yeah.
descendants of Jacob Mothmer the first.
Yeah.
Wait, how do you know that?
Yeah, no, because they did that for my great grandpa as well. There were like multiple like gigantic books on information about like the lineage.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, but it's interesting is nobody knows where Jacob Mothmer came from. The suspicion is perhaps he was maybe Pennsylvania Dutch, he was part of that community, or Irish. But I know in my genealogy, it's like 40% of mine stuff is from the UK, Ireland, Scotland area. But anyway, so now I am back here in, well, I guess I am back here in Maryland and in really learning and loving and connecting the land that I live on, the branch of the green. The green branch that runs behind my home and dumps off into, the near the Gunpowder Park there and down into Loch Raven Reservoir and all of that. And I'm just in love and in love. But the importance, I think, and the deeper calling for me about getting grounded to the space that we're in is that it's stable and that it's not as quickly changing. I mean, climate change is impacting things, but that when all of our man-made systems are breaking down and decomposing, the things that in needing to be reinvented, the one thing that we can always return to and know and be is the land, right? Because that's real. It's real. And so those are the questions that I ask myself, are what are real and what are reliable? And I'm like, okay, the land is real, the land is reliable. So whatever happens with anything else, I can return back to the land and I can grow food and I can do, and I can do all of these other things and have community on that space. And that the land for me is highly informational. Like I can learn so much just from sitting quietly in the woods, that surround my home and just being present to it. And I get so much information and healing and just renewal and rejuvenation. And so I do always ask people, oh, well, where are you of? I'm trying to fix words around that instead of where are you from, where are you of? I'm of Maryland, and I am of Ohio, because we carry those things with us. And so in a lot of my own spiritual practice, I ask myself, like, what land am I carrying in my own being and my own body? Because as humans, we are an ecosystem. We have so much, such poundage of us is not even human. So much poundage of us is bacteria, you know what I mean? And all of this other stuff that helps us be in these bodies. And then moreover, where are your roots? Where do your roots go? Because that informs where we can go, right? In our futures and in our present. When we learn the stock from, I hate to say from whence we came, because that just sounds so hoity-toity. But when we learn the stock that we came from, it informs how strong we really are. You know, the pioneers and settlers of my ancestry that were in Ohio, that was not easy land to be living on. You know, there were trees that needed to be felled, and there was homes that needed to be built, and there was all kinds of racial and social injustice, and is still racial and social injustice. But that power is still there, and it's in that soil, and it's in us as living torch carriers for those lineages, you know. And I do a lot of ancestral work, so I always ask people, well, where are your dead? You know, what where are they buried at? Mm-hmm. You know, do you visit them? Do you plant flowers? Do you, you know, and that's one practice that I can't do. Where, you know, I mean, I have ancestral shrine in my home where I put things, but I can't do flowers like my grandma used to do, you know, 2 and 3 times, 4 times a year, go out and replant all of the graves with flowers. You know, that was such a beautiful tradition that I wish I could do, you know, right now, but I can't. But that informs us, because they're not, you know, they're only dead if we say they're dead, right? Mm-hmm. They, you know, they're available to us as sources of wisdom and knowledge, just like the land is, and they're part of that. And so I also think, in terms of connecting with the land, that the land informs us more than we'll ever be able to inform the land. You know, if we start looking and being aware of the natural cycles of things, natural cycles of ourselves, the seasons, sun and moon, all of those things, and we can live in harmony with that, I think that we can make for more healthier lives, more healthier planet, you know, rather than, yes, we need our time, you know, that's taking away, that says it's 1:55 now, but, you know, can I, when I don't need that, am I able to recognize the changing of the stars, you know, in the night sky, and recognize that, oh, you know, these constellations are here, that means the geese will be coming. Mm. That means that winter is now coming, you know? And so I think that there's just such beauty and poetry and power in being able to recognize those things and connect with that.
I have so many light bulbs going off right now in my brain as you're speaking, like things that are really kind of coming to the surface for me and just like actually making sense now, because I moved to Maryland about 3 years ago from Texas. And when I moved here, I had such a hard time, and I didn't realize that, I think that it had something to do with, I didn't know how to connect with the land, because I was born and raised in Texas, and that's where I felt like home, and that's where I felt connected. And then I went to school out in the Appalachian Mountains, out in Frostburg, in the middle of nowhere. And I was just like forced to be by myself. And through that, I was just like, what is this? Why do I feel so alone and disconnected? And through that experience, I spent a lot of time going inward and connecting with the ancestors and starting to kind of listen to the land. And it was very much like a process that I had to go through to really appreciate the land and the energy that it holds, and that it's always there for us. And it just took me so long to understand that, like, I think that's what it was the move. And I didn't really know how to navigate how to connect with this place, because it was foreign to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I lived in Florida for quite some time, and I never really felt like it was home. Mm-hmm. Just didn't. And I mean, I met lots of amazing humans and had lots of wonderful experiences, but I just never really felt that it was home. I didn't even like the beach. I don't even like the beach. So I don't know why, yeah. I, you know, spent so much time living there, but that's where life was. But now, yeah, this is my place right now.
That's how I felt initially whenever I moved to Appalachia, because I felt a lot of the energy behind the coal industry that was still really, like, really embedded in the land. And, like, mm-hmm. It was just so intense, and I just felt so isolated out there. So since I've actually moved to this area that we're in now, I've felt a little more connected and at home. But you know, it's just like some things are for some people and some things aren't for others. So I really felt like I kind of had to go through a dark night of the soul when I was there and like really get real with myself and sit with myself. So there was medicine in that.
Oh, absolutely. There's always medicine if we look for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always there. Yeah, no, I agree. And that, yeah, places can really feel totally wrong for us. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would like to talk a little bit about the Patreon giveaway that you are going to be doing for this episode. And that was for a virtual or in-person herbal consultation with a custom formulation. So I'm curious if you could expand on kind of what that entails.
Yeah. So you said a virtual, right?
Virtual or in-person or is it just virtual?
Either one. Yeah. Okay. Virtual or in-person. Okay. I thought I heard you say ritual, and I was like, let me go back to my phone.
No, hold up.
I think I said that. Virtual or in-person consultation. Yeah, herbal consultation. Yeah. So it can be for really anything. So it'll be either virtual via Zoom, or it'll be in-person at my office in Cockeysville, depending on what the world is doing at the time. And it can be for any kind of health condition or concern that you have. Just be aware that as a registered nurse and a licensed healthcare practitioner, I do always recommend that people, you know, talk to their primary care physicians after we speak, just to make sure that they feel safe and that they're informed, because it can change their care. But it can be, even if you don't have an illness, it can be, how do I create more balance in my life? You know, when we can talk about, I will do an Ayurvedic dosha analysis. And so we'll look at that, which will give us a lot of information as to if you have a disease process or a sign of imbalance, what way we can help bring those things back into balance. In the consultation, it can actually be for any of my services if you really wanted to, if you didn't think herbs were correct and right for you at that time. And then I also do custom formulations. So whatever we identify as your imbalance or your desire. So, some people are like, well, I don't really have an imbalance. I feel great, but how do I optimize my sleep? Or how do I optimize, you know, my nutrition, my nutrients? I'll make an herbal formula and plan, and I'll bring it up to you, whoever my customer is. And then I will actually do the custom formulation for you as well. And we'll talk about the best route for you and for your lifestyle.
Lovely. Yeah. Well, thank you.
And that's usually about $120 to $150 value.
Yeah. So this is, I'm really, really excited to be doing this. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem. And you can't win. I'm sorry you can't win, because that would be cheating.
It's okay. I get to share this space with your beautiful presence. So I'm very grateful. Thank you. Are there any upcoming events that you have that we should keep in mind? Any, I know you're doing the virtual meditations every Monday and Friday. Any online classes that people should be aware of?
Yes. So tomorrow evening from 7 to 8:30, I'm going to be hosting a webinar with Zoom discussion following on the Genius Loci. So it is actually about our last topic, about how to connect with, recognize, and engage the spirit of place wherever you are. And that doesn't have to be if you live in the countryside. It can be in your city, in your home. Every place has a genius loci and a spirit attached to it. So that'll be tomorrow evening. You can visit my website, sacredherbals.com, or on Facebook. The tuition for that class is $20 only. And if you do miss it, it's okay. It will be archived in my online class library on my website at sacredwisdomherbals.com.
So this episode, it's not going to be aired until probably two more weeks.
Oh, so, that's okay. It'll be there.
Okay. And then you'll still have the Monday and Friday meditations.
Yes.
You're going to be
doing I'll be continuing the Monday and Friday meditations. Probably give it a little overlap between when my practice, in-person practice, reopens to kind of let that gel. And then I'll probably let those go as my in-person practice picks back up.
Okay, and so for the class, the class that's tomorrow, that's going to be recorded via Zoom, right? It's going
It's
to be
not,
recorded?
I use another platform called Easy Webinar.
Okay, so if people decide to sign up later, can they still get access to it?
Yep, they can still have access
Oh,
to it. They can
awesome.
still watch it. Yeah, it's recorded, so they'll be able to still see it in the PowerPoint and everything. And when they do sign up, I'll email them the handouts.
Awesome. And just
Yeah,
and
I just do Zoom after. I'm sorry, I just do Zoom after the webinars so that people can have a live Q&A.
okay, beautiful. And so if you just want to touch on where people can find you, I don't know if you use Instagram, and then your Facebook page, your website you already mentioned. If you
Yeah,
want to throw your Instagram out there, you can.
I can. It's not updated. I'm such a bad grammar.
I am
Instagram.
too.
Wait, I don't get this. Why do I need to do it on Facebook and
Well,
Instagram?
you're new to technology, right?
Well, don't make me
New-ish.
sound like a complete troglodyte. No, I'm not. But am I new to social media?
Social media,
Let's
yes.
try that as a term.
That makes more
You
sense.
whippersnapper. Yes, I am new to social media, but I think I do okay. So my Facebook is at Sacred Wisdom Herbals. My Instagram is at Sacred Wisdom Herbals, or is it hashtag Sacred Wisdom Herbals? One of those two.
I totally meant social media. I'm sorry.
There you go. And then my website is sacredwisdomherbals.com. So to keep it easy, it's all Sacred Wisdom Herbals.
Lovely. And so I have some heart share questions. I used to call them like rapid fire, but they're not so rapid fire, but they're just more heart share questions to kind of get to know you a little more. So the first one I have is, what have you been listening to lately? That could be podcasts, music, any audiobooks.
I've been listening to everything by Ayla Nerio and Deadova.
That's good
Get it in
stuff.
your life.
Yes.
I love both of them.
And the second question is, are you currently reading anything, or do you have any recommendations on books that have impacted you in some way?
I am a consummate reader. I currently have like five books going. I'm reading The Anatomy of the Spirit for like the second time. My best friend and I are doing it as a book club book. I will say there are a lot of things I don't care for about the book, but the information about the chakras is pretty interesting in the way that the chakras relate to our lives. And I'm also reading A New Path by Arthur Haynes, which is really good. It's about rewilding your life.
Very lovely. And what is elevating you in this season of your life?
What is elevating me in this season in my life? I would have to say feeling confident is elevating me and really stepping into my power. And I hate to say that because we were trashing it for so long, but stepping into my power, but in all of those literal and defined ways that I'm talking about, and just recognizing my own subject matter expertness on herbalism and things like that, and just really stepping into my role as a healing practitioner in this world, and yeah, and of being of service. That's the answer. Stepping into my role in being of service.
Thank you. And so there's two more questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, am I on the fourth one? Yeah. Fourth one is, are there any plants or crystals that you feel particularly drawn to right now?
Yeah, nettles. Urticaria dioica. Got a big bush of her out there. She is amazing. She's my protectress. She is my water mover. When I feel stuck and stagnant, she gets me flowing. To just sit with her in her armor and her heat and her radiance fills me.
Thank you. And the last question is, do you know if you know your sun sign, your rising sign, moon sign, that can be Western astrology or Vedic?
I am a Leo sun. I am a Libra moon. and I'm a Gemini rising.
I'm a Gemini rising too.
I'm
very new to astrology, so I always like to get a feel for people, and I'm definitely kind of diving deeper into that as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm about 40% on astrology. Like, I know it, like, when I know, like, plants that relate to signs, because I know the ruling planets of the plants. But I'm a little bit, I know a little bit about it.
I've always been curious if there's, I guess it's whatever the person feels most resonant with, but I've been very curious about the differences between the Western and the Vedic.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm definitely going to look into that though.
Yeah.
But I just want to thank you again for being here today. I'm so grateful to have had you. And yeah, it's so great to see your beautiful face.
Thank you. And I hope that we get to see each other in real life, IRL. I do know some things about technology. soon, yeah. And I look forward to also anyone that's listening to this. If you have any questions, you can always Facebook message me or friend request me on Facebook and then Facebook message me. You can always email me. I'm always available, even if it's just for answering the simple question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Well, I hope you have a beautiful rest of the day. It's pretty hot outside, so enjoy being inside and just relaxing. That's great too.
Yeah,
and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Be blessed.
You too. Much love.
Bye.
Hello, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Just a friendly reminder to share it with a friend, subscribe on whatever app you're using, rate and review if you feel called. It really means the world to me, and it really helps spread these messages far and wide into the world. I have provided resources and ways to connect with these lovely human beings that come on this podcast, and any offerings that they may have. So be sure to check that out in the show notes. And if you feel called to check out the Patreon, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/elevatedcommunity. And there you can check out the giveaways and sign up at the $2 a month level to receive all the juiciness that is to come in the future. And once again, thank you so much for showing up today in whatever time and space that you are tuning in. And to bring this all home, I hope you enjoy this music by Desert Dwellers. Much love.